We'll be looking in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 this morning, starting out there, talking about a subject that I would admit, first of all, that I'm probably the least capable of trying to teach about, but I think it's a misunderstood subject in the time that we live in. We want to talk about it today is on the spiritual side. I hear a lot in the social. Well, primarily what I'm thinking about, what's on my mind is I hear people, not just there, but a lot of different places, but like in social media and places like that, they'll take a physical setting or something and try to make a spiritual application with it. And Brother Rose, that don't work. Most of the time, all you do is make a fool out of yourself, if anybody knows better. And we're living in a time today when I believe this is probably one of the most misunderstood things in the religious realm. And it was the case then when Apostle Paul was writing here to the Church of Corinth. Church of Corinth was one of the most carnal, well, was the most carnal church in the Scriptures. I think a whole lot like our society today and our country today. Even in a religious realm, and I use that word loosely, very little really understood about the spiritual aspects. So we're going to talk about that a little bit this morning. Like I said, I'll just try to give you scripture instead of opinions. But I think it's something that we need to understand more about today. If there's one thing I think in the time we live in, that the devil would try to get us to veer away from, Brother Lowell, is understanding the spiritual things in the Scripture. He don't care too much about the physical side of it, where you prosper. That's fine with him, I think. As a matter of fact, sometimes it's detrimental to the spiritual side. Most times, probably. And he'll let you do that, and he don't mind that. But, boy, he don't want you to learn about spiritual things or make applications in your life, spiritual things. But that's what we need, and that's what the Bible teaches. As God's people, if there's one thing that we need today, is to understand spiritual things. Now, I'm going to start out here with a familiar place in the Scripture, and let me look just a minute to get my bearings here. I think we'll just go ahead and start in the main verse, and everybody's heard this. Well, before I start there, let's look back about just a few places here in this same chapter, in the next chapter, about this church. Paul, in chapter 3 and verse 2, he says, "I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hereunto you were not able to bear it, neither ye now are ye able. For you are carnal." Paul makes the same statement in verse 1. He says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual." It's sad, Thurman, that I would say that we'd have to make that same statement to the church today. You can't speak unto them spiritual things. You've got to give them milk. But we have a responsibility as God's people to mature ourselves where we can eat meat. Now, to understand spiritual things, you have to be able to eat meat. Can't drink milk and get there. But here he told them in verse 1, he says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as babies in Christ." To a believer, that's a strong statement. The word carnal, I had this already. I didn't necessarily find this for this lesson today. I already had done the work and had the notes here. But I thought it was interesting when I read it, and I'll just read it to you. The word carnal in the Greek word is sarkikos. And that means fleshly. It means sensual. In the Latin, carnal means sensual. And that's where we get our word, and I thought this was the interesting part. That's where we get our word, carnival. How many has ever been to a carnival? Just me. One more person, Kenny. Well, Ralph's been to one too. I bet everybody in here has been to a carnival. What's going on there anyway? Huh? Well, we know what's going on there. Christians go to them places too. But when you go to a carnival, what's going on? Big hoorah. Big time. Most of the stuff, Brother Joe, not too good. Your mind in the wrong place. Anyway, that gives us an idea of what we're talking about here. And Paul wrote about these people, and he wrote to them. In verse 3, he says, "For you are carnal, for wherein there is among you envying, strife, division, are you not carnal? And walk as men?" In verse 14 of chapter 2, he says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of God, not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned." Natural man being a man that's unsaved. And Paul is trying to tell these people here, if you look over here in verse 5, I believe it is, back up to verse 4, to get an idea of how they were thinking, and boys, lines up with where we're at here today in the church. He says, for one will say, I am of Paul, another of Apollos, and another, and are y'all not carnal? Who then is Paul, or who is Apollos, the ministers of whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I planted, Apollos watered, and God gave the increase. But that is kind of how they're doing. We got people like that today in the church today. They'll follow one preacher all over the country. They think he's the only man who knows how to preach the gospel. Amen, Brother Lowell. I'm going to say something. If you've been called of God, you're a preacher. And just as much a preacher, it don't make no difference how big or how little you are. God ain't got no big eyes and little ewes. But that's the way those people thought here at the Church of Corinth, and that's the way people think today a lot. Look in verse 9, getting to where I want to get started. "But it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the hearts of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." And Paul's trying to get this church here at Corinth to understand that the spiritual things in the Scripture is the most important things. He said, "But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." Galatians 5:17 said, "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another." They're opposed to each other. Fleshly things and spiritual things. Now, like I said, the devil, he don't care too much how much you know about physical things. Matter of fact, he'll help you along all he can. But he does not want you to know about spiritual things. And I'm going to tell you something. The church today is in trouble because they don't understand the spiritual things of the Scriptures. You're not going to get the spiritual understanding through the eye gate and ear gate, and that's what Paul's talking about here. You can't hear them. Eyes not seen, ears not heard. Now, I thought it was interesting. I just found this morning. A lot of you probably already knows this, but I'm going back, if I can find it. Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 4. He says, "For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen. O God, besides thee what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. The important things in life is not what we see and what we hear. The important things in life, and I thought this is just happened this way, but anyway, I'll share this with you. I was with a man this past week, a friend of mine. He's not a bad feller, but Brother Rick, I believe he's a lost feller. And I try, when I get an opening and I feel like the Lord's leading me that way, I'll try to be a witness to him. I don't force myself on him. I don't think that's the way you do it. But when God opens up a door, I try to be a witness to him. And the Lord opened up the door this week one time, and he has before, and I have been a witness to him. But anyway, this is, he's a, one of them fellers, you know, that he thinks doing good is what you ought to do, and there ain't nothing matter with that, I don't guess. They call them philanthropists, giving to people and doing things, and he was really a pop in his galaxies this week, and he was telling me that he's actually got a brother that's a preacher, pastor, in a church down in Florida, I think. And he said, boy, I really done something this week. He didn't say that, but that's what he was saying. He said, my brother's church lightning hit it and knocked a compressor out in his church, and they didn't have any money to have it fixed, and I wrote him a check, sent it to him, and fixed it for him. Boy, he really thought he had done something good, and Brother Lowell, that is all right. But I said, that ain't going to help you a bit when it comes to eternal things. And he don't understand that. He feels like, you know, and he'll go over here and he'll buy $500 worth of groceries and take them up here and give them to these. He's told me about that several times. And I tell him the same thing, that ain't going to help you in your need. What you need, that's not going to help you. One of these days, that might get through, I don't know. I just said that to, because it goes with the lesson. And so, spiritual things. This church was carnal. They was concerned about the worldly things that was going on, the physical things that was going on, the fleshly things that was going on in the church. That was where their mind was at, and that's where their concern was at, and that's where they were thriving at in this church. And this was the most carnal church in the Scriptures, as I said. And when I look at this, I see a whole lot of resemblances to the church of today. Lord help us. I mean, I'm not boasting saying that. It saddens my heart. And when I say that, I have to, I guess I probably get under conviction myself, because, preacher, I'm sitting on the sideline myself. How many of y'all sitting on the sidelines? You know, the pastor can't do it all. If he could do it all, ours would have done had it all done. Amen. Can't keep up with him, Joe. But it's not his job. What I'm trying to say, it's all of our jobs. And we're never going to do our job as long as we're thinking in a carnal way. I thought about that, and I thought about another place in the Scripture, and we're going there. 2 Corinthians, chapter 4. This is that same church. Let me see. Let me get my bearings here. Let me go to verse 14. Knowing that he which raised us, the Lord Jesus, shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. Now we're getting into spiritual things again. For which cause we faint not. Looking at spiritual things. not physical. For which things we faint not. But though our outward man, that's a physical man, though our outward man perish, if you look at myself and Joe and Ralph, you won't argue against that. And some others in here. You can tell that's going on. We're perishing every day. We're getting closer to the grave every day. But thank God the inner man is not the same. The spiritual man. He said, for which cause we faint not? What cause? He says, for which cause? What cause? Well, you've got to go back up into verse 14. One day he's going to raise us up for that cause. For that cause we faint not, Brother Joe. I'm going to tell you something. When you get our age, not so much true when you're younger, but when you get my age and Ralph's age and Brother Joe's age and Brother Fane's age, things start looking different. You know that what this book teaches is more true or more real in your life. This outward man perisheth. He's a bending back toward the grave, Brother Lowell. That's the way it is. But though that outward man perisheth, the inward man is renewed day by day. Thank God for that. That makes me more appreciative of my salvation. That makes me more appreciative of the hope that I have set before me as a Christian, as a believer, as a born-again believer. You see, it tells us down here in another verse to whom we'll get there in a minute. He says, while we look not at the things which are seen, the carnal things, the physical things, it's so hard not to look at those things because of the way we're made up. We're fleshly. And those things are appetizing to us as a fleshly man, a human being. And I think, getting back to what I said a minute ago, as you get older, Brother Joe, those things are not near as appealing to you as they used to be. As that outward man dies, those things have a tendency to die off with it. In most cases, not in every case. I've seen some men, 95, 100 year old, and was the old saying, have one foot in the grave and one out. And those things were still just as dear to him as he was when he was 20 year old. That's a sad thing. But in most cases, in the case of a believer, it ought to be anyway, and I think it is in most cases, that those things are not near as dear to us as they used to be. I know I look back in my life when I was in my prime, what we call a prime of life, 25, 30 year old. I was a running to and fro. Had plenty of energy, Brother Joe. I don't have that anymore. I'm going the other way. That outward man is perishing. But thank God that inward man, on the other hand, has a tendency to draw near. You look around and you see what's going on. And you maturing in age, Brother Larry. You can't move like you used to. You can't walk like you used to. And you can't remember like you used to, Ralph. There's a difference. That outward man is perishing all the time. And we need to understand that more than I think. I know we all know that. I know we all know that. But we don't know it good enough to that it alters our lifestyle. When we realize that, we ought to understand that while we look not at the things which are seen. And it tells us why. Because the things that we look at, the things that are seen are temporal. Anything, it don't matter what it is, anything that you look at on this earth is temporal. Don't matter what it is. Some things are more permanent than others, but everything's temporal. That's the way God made it. And we need to understand that those things are going to pass away. I drive by, sometimes I think, I start to say all the time, but not all the time. I have had this thought more than once. Going by an old, where they keep old cars. Junkyard. What I'm trying. I told you, mine don't work like it used to. That just backs up what I'm trying to say. Junkyard. And, you know, you look over in that junkyard preacher, and there's old cars in there, some of them, even back, you may be in the 40s and 50s and 60s and 70s. But there's one thing they all have in common. There'll be some of them missing fenders, and there'll be some of them missing hoods, and all of them have rust. And I look over and I think, man, at one time, all of them things was shining new. That's a pretty crude example, but that's just what comes to my mind. Everything's like that. There's a place in Scripture, I think it's over in, I can't remember, but anyway, it talks about the tottering fences and the fields, and I think, you know, how that they've been let run down, and I drive out through the country, and one thing that comes to my mind, these old barns, you know, they'll just be a falling down, and the tin's rusty. Used to, you know, everybody kept their barns up, their outhouses up, and kept the roofs painted and kept them repaired, and it's a part of the place. It's not like that anymore, is it? Well, we look not to things which are seen, but things which are not seen. He says, while we, believers, people that's been saved by the grace of God, while we look not at things which are seen, but the things which are not seen, because the things which are not seen are eternal. That's what we ought to be concerned about as God's people, eternal things. Because them old rust heaps over there in that junkyard, they ain't worth much no more. You go by the house, it used to be, I remember some places back when I was a boy. Of course, we was raised poor, and just about anything, preacher, was nice, other than where we lived. But they were some really nice places back then. People that, you know, had a little bit. Thank God, most people back then, they was willing to work for what they had. And if you had anything, most of them got it by working. But they'd have a nice place, you know, fence around it, painted white. I think about what preacher said, now, things that stick with you. I think about what he was talking about one time about his dad's place. How did he fix it up? You know, and we was what they call sharecroppers, and we didn't have nothing. Man, we were so poor, we thought the poor was rich. But preacher, I had a bunch of sisters, there's 12 of us. And we didn't have much, but I tell you what, we had a clean house. And we'd move in out of maybe one place into another, and the old house would be run down, rats, you know, in it and everything. You know how they are. You've been there. Some of you have. But anyway, Joe, they'd start cleaning up, sweeping up, getting a bucket with water in it, soap, wiping up, mopping up. And if you didn't have nothing else, you'd take newspapers, collect them up, put them on the walls. And they'd get this old paste wax, and put a rug down and wax that thing up. Didn't have much. I'm going to tell you something. We ain't got much today. We think we have. We go home from right back in our recliner and look around. We think, man, I said, Brother Dan's there the other day. Kind of on that note, preacher. And we're sitting on the front porch. And boy, I said, you've got a nice spread, your Dan. I mean, you know, sit up there, look over that. Pretty nice. For an old country boy. But really, when we sit back in our chair and we look around, we've done pretty good. God's blessed us. We've worked, and the Lord give us anything we have, He'd give it to us. And like I said, sometimes it's detrimental to us. But we sit back and we think, boy, we've done pretty good. We've accumulated a few things. But really ain't got nothing. it's all going to be over in that junkyard. So with that being said, what's important in life? What is important in life? Was it that new car we drove to church this morning? Or the fine pair of pants we had on? Or the good meal we eat this morning, maybe? All those things may be essential to life, but they're not too important. People used to walk to church. They used to wear overhaul pants. Same ones they wore on Monday, they'd just wash them up, clean them up. So what we'll look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. That's what's important in our lives today as God's people. I'm trying to think here where I was going next. Oh yeah, I know where I was going. I was going over here in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. We'll finish up there. In the 11th chapter of Hebrews, this, of course, the faith chapter of Scripture, talks about our spiritual patriarchs. Moses, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and it says by faith. Faith has to do with eternal things. In fact, you can't have eternal things without faith. The Bible says in verse 6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. It says in verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. In verse 10, it says, speaking of Abraham, it says he looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. And I look at all these patriarchs, Jacob, Isaac, Abraham, Moses. You know, we're living in a time today, I just had a thought when I was studying this lesson, that in our nation, what the thinking is today is get rid of the past, get rid of all of our heritage, tear down the monuments, and they think somehow or another that's going to fix everything. It ain't going to fix nothing. That's part of our heritage. And I just wonder, and I wonder how much longer it's going to be before they start wanting to take all these old patriarchs out of Scripture. Why, it's coming if the Lord don't come back. Everything follows suit. Did you know that? I remember 25, 30, 40 years ago, things was going on in California that we thought was the most awful things ever was.
And it is awful.
And it is awful. But somehow or another, as the closer it gets to where you're at, it becomes not as awful. It's here today in Kingsport, Tennessee. I looked at this and I thought about this, and I think the key verse here is in verse 13. These all died in the faith, having not received the promise, but having seen them afar off. I get this. And were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth. If there's one thing that these Old Testament patriarchs had on us, it was this, that they were persuaded, they embraced, and they confessed. Look here, I tell you, this is hard for me to get in my mind. I know it's true. It's hard to understand. Look over in verse, 37 of that same chapter. Speaking of these patriarchs. They were stoned, they were sawed asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword, they wandered about in sheepskin and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. I want you to get this. This is what's hard for me to understand. Boy, we all ought to shout. It's all through God's grace and His sovereign hand. I want you to read this next statement. I want you to get this, and I want you to think about it, study on it, ponder on it, and meditate on it in the next few days. Think about these great patriarchs, what they went through, and the faith they had. And then look what it says here. All these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. Now, if I'd have been God, Brother Rick, I'd give it to them. Because I feel like they deserved it. Oh, they'll get it. The names are not going to get it, but look here. Having provided some better thing for us. Did you hear that? Having provided a better thing for us. How did we get it? How did we deserve it? I'll tell you right now. It wasn't by buying some place a new heat pump. It wasn't by buying $500 worth of groceries and taking up here to one of these places. We didn't get it like that. A better thing for us that they notice this. That they, without us, should not be made perfect. In other words, what that's saying, if I understand it right, they're having to say it, or maybe not say it, I don't know what's going on up there. But they're having to wait, Brother Rick, on us. There was another place that caught my eye. I'll go back to where I started at. Back over in chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, where we started, Paul talking to this church. And I want you to read, I'm going to go back and read this. I done read it once, but I didn't make an emphasis on it. In verse 14, Paul says, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us. When Paul says us, he means these believers in this church and him, us, also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. I believe it deserves some thought. The Apostle Paul, as great a man as he was, it seems like it's a saying here, on that day, Paul's going to be right there with us. Because I'm sure Paul knew he's closing his life out. There's going to be people in this church living after he leaves. Can you see that? All that being said, the writer in Hebrews in chapter 12 says, wherefore, or because of this, all the things that we've talked about, not the physical things, but the spiritual things. Wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, these Old Testament patriarchs and the peoples. You know, I think we can either go back, Brother Rick, to the Rightly Sallings and the Jack Sturgills and people like that. Even your dad, Claude Taylor, people like that, that I've had the privilege down through the years to know and looked at them and watched their walk And they finished the course, kept the faith. And I don't understand this, but I think it's right. As great a man as Apostle Paul was, and that's what he said, he ain't got nothing on these guys. And he ain't got nothing on us. And that's the part that's kind of hard for me to understand. But wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with this so great a cloud of witness, let us weigh aside. He encourages us. The writer here in Hebrews encourages us, God's people, true believers. If we understand this and we see how God feels about us and how that he's got us, they're having to sit back and wait on us. Man, that's hard for me to understand, but I know it ain't nothing we done, it's what he done. That makes you understand, or it lets you understand, I guess would be a better word, for what he done for us at Calvary. And so much the more we are to praise him for that, and we are to understand that. That old Billy Mitchell said one time, God put all of his eggs in one basket. And that basket was Jesus Christ. And you know, everything he thinks, the Father's there, he says, amen. If you get in, you'll have to go his way. That's the only way you'll get in. That's what I've been trying to tell my friend. Don't matter what you do. He's encouraging them. He's trying to encourage us. Let's don't be too lax in what we're doing. Let's be more serious in our endeavor here on earth for God. Look at these great patriarchs. They're an encouragement to us. He says, lay aside every weight and sin. Which does so easily beset us. You see, God understands. He said, for I know in this flesh, in my body, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find out. That's what the Apostle Paul said. I believe through that God and his Son, Jesus Christ, understands. Surely he does. He made us. He understands that this flesh is frail and weak, subject to go wrong a lot of times. We're prone to, because of our makeup. But the Bible tells us greater is he that's in us than he's in the world. And we have a victory already won in Christ Jesus. Thank God, no matter what comes our way, we can look to the future and know everything's well. And so we ought not be deterred by the things that are going on around us, the physical things. Because if you let that get too much of a hold on you, you won't be doing much for the Lord. He says we are to lay aside. I think we could insert in there and be okay as much as possible. Every sin that so easily besets us. Let us run with patience the race set before us. We're living in a time today when everything just going to and fro and running and just in a madhouse. That's not God's way. We're to be patient. We're to look at the things set before us. Look for these patriarchs behind us. And do the best we can to be a witness for the Lord in the time that we live in. Because in verse 10 of that same chapter we start in, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Nobody's going to get by. Paul said, for we. We must all. He included himself in that. I think we miss it a lot of times, but Apostle Paul was probably more like us than we really think he was. And he didn't try to hide that. Matter of fact, he tried to let it be seen. But on top of that, he also let it be seen that we're living a victorious life. And we've got something awaiting us on the other side. And it's not like this temporal time that we have here on earth. It's just for a little while.
Brother John,
yes, sir.
Amen.